Shalom. We're starting a new topic today. Education in the writings of the Rav Kook. And what we're going to learn is from Mamari Re'iyah, page 229. Mamari Re'iyah, as you can all see from the cover, is not part of the Shas Levan. It was not printed by Mosad Rav Kook. This was printed by Rav Elisha Aviner, the younger brother of Shlomo Aviner. And what he did was he simply went through the old newspapers of the time of Rav Kook, and mostly Hatorah. Hatorah was the newspaper of the Mizrahi, some from Apeles, and Bikitsur, and he just sat in the library, took them off microfilm, and printed them. He got really most of the good ones. There were some ma'amarim, which for whatever reason, I don't know if he didn't see, or he decided they weren't important, that Bezrat Hashem I'm going to print in the near future. Anyway, this is from the chelik called Ba'al Peh. This is an oral talk that Rav Kook gave in Tafresh Samechei. That's 1905 in Rehovot. And Rav Kook here starts out with two Mamari Chazal. The first one, Al Tigu B'mshichai, Elu Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban. Chazal say in Masechet Shabbat, Tav Kuf Yotet, that don't touch the anointed ones. Now, usually we talk about Mashiach in the singular, Mashiach ben David. They learn out that it's not talking about the Mashiach, but it's talking about the anointed ones. Who are the anointed ones in Lashon Rabbim in the plural? Those are the Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban, children who learn Torah.
Ravadi says it all the time.
And not only that, if you ever walk in Mea Shearim, you'll see that every couple of years they remove the graffiti that says Al Tigu B'mshichai with a big exclamation mark. The government has cut money from the Talmud Torahs. I just looked at this way that Baruch Hashem, we thank God that in Eretz Yisrael you have to know Masechet Shabbat in order to understand graffiti. Otherwise, the people who made the cuts in the budget didn't understand the graffiti that was pointed at them. Anyway, we'll understand this this ma'amar in the background where Rav Kook is talking about. Maybe we'll read the second ma'amar and then we'll explain them both together. Chazal say in Ptichta Deicha Rabati, Im ra'ita ayarot nitlashot minkuman be'eretz Yisrael, al shelo hichziku b'schar sofrim u'b'schar meshanim. If you see cities being uprooted in Eretz Yisrael, it's because they didn't pay the salaries of those who taught the children. Now Rav Kook is bringing this in the context of the opposite. If Eretz Yisrael was destroyed because we weren't careful on Jewish education of the young children, so if we wanted today, now that we're returning back to Eretz Yisrael, if we want to rebuild the land, the thing that we should be especially careful is regarding the children's education. Rav Kook, in that context, is relating to Al Tigu B'mshichai, as opposed to what Yeshua said. Here, Rav Kook is, without a doubt, relating to the fact that Mashiach is the children of Israel. And Davka would be, it fits in very well. There's a bright and Tana Deber Rav Eliyahu that says that it might be an Avot Rabbi Natan. It's one of the two. And that says that even if the Mashiach were to come, you don't stop the children from learning Torah. Based on this you understand. Because the children who learn Torah, they are the Mashiach. That's what Mashiachiyut is about.
Isn't that when they're building the Beit HaMikdash here?
That's the idea.
Yeah, they're the ones who are building the Beit HaMikdash. No, I don't know.
Ah, same. Chai Ruchani.
Exactly. Yesod ha'oma b'yachas ha'atid shela talui b'yesod ha'chinuch. The basis of the nation, and this is true with any nation, regarding its future depends on chinuch, on education. Kvar noda mikol chachmei lev, all the intellectuals know, כי התיקון בחינוך הוא תיקון בכל. וזה אומנם נודע לנו מפי הניסיון לחוץ דדיו הרבה יותר ממה שאפשר לדעת מפי השמוע והלימוד. I imagine that Rav Kook is referring here to Freud, who, as all intellectuals know, and we know from experience, more than all the doctorates put together, Rav Kook is saying, that if you have a problem, the solution is not in the generation where the problem is. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. The solution is to solve the problem in the next generation. In other words, if today, 2 weeks before election, it's important to discuss the importance of who the government is going to be and who the coalition is going to be and who to vote for and who not to vote for, etc. Obviously, that's very important. But the real solution is in the schools or in the maternity wards, where that's what the state of Israel is going to look like in another 30 years. Right? For example, starting last year, the majority of the children in Israel are studying in religious education, and it was the same thing in this year, and apparently it's going to be that way Be'ezrat Hashem from now on. That means that in another 30 years the state of Israel is going to look totally different. Now the Western world also has discovered this trick. Social workers deal with putting out fires, extinguishing fires that exist, right? And the same thing with jails, and the same thing with unemployment, etc., etc. But if we would invest more money, and that's what Western countries do today, you invest more money into youth when they're young, and that way you won't have to worry about them being drug addicts and thieves and in jail, etc., etc. In other words, Kvar noda mikol chachmei lev, we all know that atikun b'chinuch utikun bakol. If you want to fix a situation, the solution is always in education. A good base, right? If I were to see one building like this, a triangle with the base on the bottom, or the opposite, a triangle with the base on top and a spitz, a point at the bottom, right? You don't need to be an architect to know which is going to stand better, right? The wider the base, the stronger the base is. Like you mentioned Freud, right? Everything is your mother's fault, or your father's fault, or your kindergarten teacher's fault, and he's not far off. He's not far off. I once anybody who lives in Yishuvim knows that you always don't go anywhere from here or back here or anywhere without taking trampistin. And I always enjoy talking to trampistin, to hitchhikers. Mm-hmm. It's a good chance to learn about them, about life, get a different perspective, do a little kiruv rechokim to teach others. But one of the tips that I never publicized to my trampistin, but it's a good trick. 15 minutes before I get to my destination, I put in a disc or a cassette with a shiur on it, and that's a sign that I want to stop talking and review in my mind what I'm about to lecture on. And most people really get the hint. That's I keep in my car cassettes or discs for the different types of people. You know, you size them down, you know, the car will not be good for him, you know, or this guy's an Amnon Yitzhak man, all right, you know. Arachim was more intellectual. Anyway, Bikitso, one time I picked up a trampist by Ariel. It was a 20-minute drive to Elkana. And he starts talking and talking and talking and talking. And the time comes for him to be quiet, so I put in the disc of talking. It wasn't music. You know, he didn't get the hint. He just keeps talking and talking and talking. But, you know, I just stop listening and review what I want to review. And there's some people, I don't know if you ever noticed, there's some people who, they need somebody to talk to, but every now and then they check that you're still listening. You know that?
That's the worst.
Those are the people, you know, who call the radio shows. And, you know. Anyway, so the guy, every couple of minutes he says, "No, I'm not telling him." I really wasn't listening, so I just say, or something like that. And he goes on. But one time, he says, "No, Mata Omer." And I said, "Ah." And he says, "Hello, Mata Omer, Ma Pitaron." What's the solution? Now, I couldn't suggest a solution if I didn't know what the problem was. But it happened to be I was on the way to teaching this ma'amar. I was going to teach this exactly what we're going to learn today. And it just hit me. I said, the solution is always educating the next generation. So he says, "Well, I thought so." Yeah, you're right. To this day, I don't know what the problem is, but the solution, that's what Rav Kook is saying, the solution to all problems is educate a strong base. And anybody who's been around in the world knows that somebody who has a good education, has good work habits, has good study habits, knows how to get along with people, he has a big advantage in university. He has a big advantage when he's looking for a job. He's going to get along better with his wife. He's going to get along better with his kids and with his parents and with his neighbors. In other words, somebody who has good, who knows how to get along in the world, right? Somebody who's polite, somebody who knows how to listen. And a good base is the solution for everything. And especially on a national level. Okay? Now, so that's point number one. Not only is education important, but it's the basis for improving everything. Now, point number two. Hachinuch tzarich shiyel le'olam mat'in in teva ha'uma v'amitat tchunata. Education has to be suited for the nature of the individual nation and its essence. Every nation has a character, and that character makes a culture. And that culture has children's stories, which raises the next generation in that direction. And it's a cycle. And that's why somebody who's born into a German culture, we spoke once, I think, about the Grimm's fairy tales, right? Or somebody who's born into Muslim culture or Jewish culture, every culture, it's a cycle that just gets more and more of that ofi. It started with the ofi, with the character of that nation, and it continues, and therefore, and that's one of the main points that Rav Kook is going to get to, you cannot, maybe we'll just jump for a second to the end of the fourth paragraph. The end of the fourth paragraph, where he really says it very, very strongly. You see the second line. V'ze omnam yorenu ledat. The second line in the left-hand column. Ad kama anachnu muchrachim liyot giborei koach lichbosh lanu derech le'atzminu b'malach hachinuch. Right, this just stresses how we have to really invest a lot of effort in making our own educational system. Not to turn into monkeys who just imitate what everyone else is doing. Right, this is a very strong statement. Rav Kook is very much in favor of the Hebrew language. He writes in Orot about the holiness of the Hebrew language, the mitzvah of every word that you speak in Ivrit. Nevertheless, Rav Kook says, lo halashon huakol. You can't just take, at the time, German education was considered the most modern, the most advanced education in the world. He said, you can't just take that and translate it to Hebrew and say, okay, this is Israeli education. Lo halashon huakol. The language, the Hebrew language, is not everything. He adds right away, right? I'm not at all minimizing the importance of the Hebrew language. The main thing is the content and which is going to the base of the life of the future of the nation. Now remember, what is the context here? Rav Kook is writing this 100 years ago, when Am Yisrael is about to return to the land of Israel. We're starting to return. And it's really a privilege. Because most nations have one chance to begin a culture, and then that culture becomes, like we said, a vicious cycle, right? Every generation gets more and more into that mindset and culture. We were here during the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, the first temple, and we blew it, and God exiled us, and then brought us back a second time. And we blew it again, and now we're back for the third time. And Rav Kook is saying this is a great privilege to be able to get a third start, a third chance. And we gotta realize that this time we shouldn't blow it. That to invest the time and the effort in making real Jewish education. In that when my father-in-law came to, he studied at the Technion for 1 year in a tough Rish Tzadi something in the early 30s. And at the time, he was just here for 1 year. It was just on the Tefer where they just turned the language. There was a big, big debate because the original language of teaching in the Technion was in German. Can you imagine that with Zionism and everything and all the idealism that was going on in Israel? The language that was considered the intellectual language was German. And that's what Rav Kook is addressing. If he was writing this today, he would say, we can't just take the American educational system and translate it to Hebrew. Back to the first paragraph. Hachinuch tzarich shiyeh lolam mati'im in teva uma v'amitat tchunata. Education has to be suitable for the nature of a nation. This is something Rav Kook writes about this in one of the earlier Ma'amarim brought here in Ma'amarei Re'iya, which really leans in the direction of what's called today open education. I'll read it inside. This is on page 33 in Ma'amar called Kirvat Elokim. Rav Kook talks here about the difference between brainwashing and education. And Binyamin, for those, anybody who works in Chinuch, there's a very, very important differentiation. Right? Because a lot of times, you know, students ask, you know, what's the difference? I'm sure Yoshua has a definition. What's the definition?
Well, my experience from Mori Barabi, Rabbi Brabender Shlita, as opposed to the other places where they have Bali Tshuva people coming with no background, is in most places, somebody will come up to a rav and say, what does Judaism have to say about X? And the rav will give the local party line of that particular group of people that are behind that yeshiva. Yeah. And Rabbi Bravender would say, well, look at this pasuk, and look at this, and look at Rashi, and look at Ramban, and look at what the Rambam says here, and the Gemara says there, and then come back and we'll talk about it.
Uh-huh. Rav Kook goes more or less in that direction. He writes as follows. ומזה אנחנו באים להכרת טבעיותו של החינוך על פי יסוד שאיפת קרבת אלוקים. We won't get into קרבת אלוקים, but that's what we'll learn that later on another time. But here, what is important for us is the naturalness of education. אשר רק חינוך זהו נחלת העתיד של האנושיות. למרות כל המכשולים שהוא פוגע על דרכו בימי התסיסה וזעזוע הנפשות. כי הלא איננו מכירים את החינוך בתור בורא דברים חדשים בנשמת המתחנך. כי אם בתור מפקח ומוציא מן האלם אל הגלוי ומן הכוח אל הפועל משהו גנוז בו. In other words, education is not to dictate outside ideas to the innocent child or naive student, but it is to bring out those natural ideas which we believe he has inside, to bring them from his potential to realize those ideas.
The Chovat HaTalmidim talks like that too.
That's Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech says Chanoch Linar Al Pi Darko. You can't get more
concise
than that.
He bases himself on that.
That's not the way he's really educated. No.
No.
It's feed the kid information and expect him to spit it out, spit it back to him.
They don't even brainwash him properly.
Right.
That's not traditional the way education is supposed to be. Education is, if I have 7 children, it's illogical that all of them should be sent to the same school. Where if somebody's listening to this in the Chutz La'aretz, there's obviously a problem because you have one Jewish school in every neighborhood. But one of the advantages of living in a Jewish state where our kids are in 8th grade, right, we ask them if there are 50 yeshiva high schools for boys, 50 ulpanot for girls, make a list of 5 or 6 ulpanot you'd like to learn in. We'll make a list of the 5 or 6 ulpanot that we think are best for you. Again, what is best for you? That which will help you realize your potential. And then we'll sit down and we'll discuss it. Right? But it's illogical that all of the children have the same needs. Right? Anybody who has children knows that one child needs more discipline, and the second child, if you're giving that same discipline, it'll crush him. And vice versa. In other words, everybody needs different things. And that's what modern education, open education, the idea of open education is to let everyone learn that which interests them. Obviously, there are certain things that everybody has to know.
The teacher has to broadcast on different channels to different kids, too.
Yeah.
Chovat HaTalmidim, I was just learning this with somebody, Chovat HaTalmidim talks about that for a parent or a teacher to raise and educate kids, it's important to get down there where the kid is, and try to do that in Israeli classroom with 40 kids in the class, but
that's another problem. Huh? I was once on a shmirah with my wife. It was a Motzei Shabbat, so she came to keep me company, and after a while, we started playing trivia. She asked me a question. What do you remember from high school chemistry? Now we both took chemistry and we both did well. But it took a long time for me to bekoshi remember 2 things. Number 1, that if you eat chalk, it raises your body temperature. And number 2, that if you get burned with an acid, you should wash it with soap, because soap is a base. Now, what's the common denominator? Are those the 2 only things that I remember from an entire year of chemistry?
The practical.
Yeah. I knew when I heard them that this is something which I could use. Right? If I want to pretend that I'm sick in high school and the Madrid comes to take my temperature,
eat some chalk.
Some chalk, and it works. Right?
Don't try this at home, kids.
Bikitzur, why do I give that example? Because in an educational system where you learn something that doesn't interest you, you can spit it back on the test and get good marks, but you're not going to remember it anyway, so it's chaval al hazman, it's a waste of time. And what Rav Kook is saying is that we're not trying to change people. What education is to try to bring out that natural goodness, the natural godliness, which is different in every child. We spoke once about how a person is their soul, not their body. And your soul is chelik eloka mimal. It's a spark of God. And Yehoshua's spark of God is different than Tzvi's spark of God, which is different from Yishai's spark of God. As Elokei Avraham is a little different from Elokei Yitzchak, who's a little different from the God of Jacob. Because Avraham had this stress and Yitzchak had this stress. And that's why an educational system has to fit the needs of the individual. Now, if this is true regarding the individual, kal vachomer, how much more so regarding a nation, where we're talking about a culture, right? Where America, fine, they have a culture. Their educational system, I hope, fits their culture. Germany is a totally different culture, right? Anybody who's been in Switzerland or Germany knows that if we think that we know what Yekis are, the real Swiss people, they're so square that you can't imagine. Right?
German education is that it's a very good illustration of Amalek, because it's 180 degrees opposite what you were talking about. German education, which maybe goes back to Martin Luther, I think, is that that little kid is sinful and evil. And what you have to do is basically beat out his evil nature and program him to be what you want, what's
that's
good.
Interesting. That's mamash 100. That's the exact opposite. Maybe that's why they're square. You know, it's because they say you got to fit the kid into a square. And
something like that. Okay.
Now, if this is true regarding every nation, again, point number one, by the way, it's important when learning and writing runnings of Rav Kook or any philosophy, not to float around too much, but to be able to summarize point by point. Point number one was education is the basis for all, for everything, for fixing society. Point number two is that education has to fit the needs of the individual. Point number three is how much more so does education have to fit the needs of each and every nation, okay? And that we're not out to try and change a nation, just like we're not out to try and change the individual. Point number, where are we up to?
Four.
Is that how much more so, if this is true regarding every nation, how much more so regarding Am Yisrael? Ubi Yisrael shinenu nivdalim harbe mikol amin. The Jewish people who are so different from other nations, mibayit umichutz, also externally, also internally, b'malot shonot utchunot nifradot, different advantages, different strengths, different how would you translate tchunot?
Characteristics.
Ve'im ze gam kin bechul shot shonot velikuyim yuchadim. Right, it's not all a rose garden. In other words, Jews have strong points, but also have weak points. Shetzrichim haganot miyuchadot. We need extra defense mechanisms more than other nations. Rak etchem yadati mikol mishpachot ha'adama, al ken efkod alechem et kol avonotechem. Rav Kook explains here on the pasuk in from Sefer Amos from the book of Amos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I know you." The Jewish people, by the way, Yadati also has a double meaning of I love you. Mm-hmm. I love you and I know you. And that's why I separated you from the others. And that's also why I punish you more than the others. Because I expect more from you. For the same reason the non-Jews, it's enough for them to have seven commandments. Jews, God expects more. Not only expects more, he demands more. Right? If a non-Jew eats pig, nothing happens. If a non-Jew puts on tefillin, nothing happens. But as soon as he converts to Judaism, it's tikkunim. A non-Jew talks lashon hara, nothing happens. A Jew talks lashon hara, he gets leprosy. Tzarat, right? V'anachnu tzrichim letzorach shichlul achinuch tamid la'amod al ofya shel umatenu. And therefore, if we're about to discuss what Jewish education should be about, we have to first understand what Am Yisrael is, what the Jewish people is, and how are we different, and what is our role, right? If a person has a role, then, and you educate him towards that role, then he can fulfill that role. But if you're giving him a foreign education, which isn't meant for his personality, it's not going to work, right? Now, what Rav Kook mentions here, that Am Yisrael is different, and maybe first I'll...
Did you mention the weak points?
Yeah, I was curious about that too. I could think of one that we're too compassionate, and we have to be tougher sometimes. And
that's in the Navi. Rav Kook doesn't have to mention that, but in the story of Achav, and who is it? Hadadezer, I think, from Aram, where after defeating Aram, the king of Aram and his sidekick barely survive by the skin of their teeth, and then they come up with this idea that hey, Malchei Yisrael, Malchei Chesed Hem, the kings of Israel, they're very nice, or as Yeshua would translate, suckers, and raise your hands. What's it called?
Surrender.
Yeah.
And he'll let us out.
Throw ourselves on the mercy that exists, as opposed to mercy that doesn't exist if you were going to somebody else.
And exactly, and Achav lets him free, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very angry at him. And by the way, anybody who I can't think of a more Navi, and Agag.
Agag and
right, but here it's Mamash.
And the Givonim also.
Right, but here, why do I mention that's true? But why do I mention that Dafka, the story of Achav, because it's Mamash in black and white. They said, let's take advantage of the Jews because they're soft-hearted, and they'll have mercy.
Yeah, and they're right. Every day.
And they're right. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave you your enemy in your hand, and you have the chutzpah to let him go free. I'm going to turn around the table, and I'm going to give you into your enemy's hand, and that's what happened. Okay? That's one disadvantage. Once you ask the question, the Gemara in Masechet Beitzah, Daf Chafei, I think, says that Yisrael azin sheba umot. Right? That's usually translated. The Maharal talks about that. Yisrael is chutzpahdik. Or ankshe oref is another weak point to the Jewish people. We're stubborn. Exactly. Like with everything. And that's exactly the point here. The Jews are very argumentative. I think the Maharal writes about that on the Yisrael Azin Sheba Umot. The famous line that if you have three Jews, you've got four opinions. Right? How many parties do we have running in Knesset for Knesset now?
Probably about 30.
Doesn't count.
Yeah. As we got somewhere between 20 and 30 parties in Knesset.
Well, those Arabs have got
and America is 300 million, and it's enough for them two parties. Right? But the Yehud HaLumi can't sit with the Mavdal, because there's that's the bad point of it. You know, there's a very fine line between being idealistic, which is good, and being stubborn, which is bad.
At what point do you draw the line where there's a certain time that, like, Achdut isn't a good thing? You know, the Prussian and the Swiss king, it's good they didn't go along.
Yeah, that's what free will is about. And I think you or somebody once asked about, what is, if we have Shavim Panim LaTorah, what is that 71st? What is within the spectrum? What is in the rainbow? And what is out? You know, that's obviously, that's what free will is about. In other words, we need, every case has to be dealt with individually. You know, when, for sure in the Beit Midrash, to be argumentative is good. Right, that's what you're supposed to do in the Beit Midrash, you know, and that way you clarify both sides of the coin, etc., etc. And Rav Kook writes this idea very nice in an igeret, in a letter to a student, Dr. Moshe Zeidel, who was in charge of the Tanakh department in Yeshiva University. And some of the greatest letters that Rav Kook writes are to two of his closest students, Dr. Binyamin Menashe Levin, and who wrote the Otsara Gaonim, that black set over there, and he published it from the Geniza, and Dr. Moshe Zeidel. Afterwards, he was the head of the Jewish education in Baltimore, and then he made Aliyah, and he was the head of the Ephrata Teacher Seminar in Yerushalayim. Anyway, Rav Kook writes to him as follows. Bi'ur Dvarai, this is something that Rav Kook wrote in the previous letter, Shekol gedula kruchau im chesronot makbilim la. Every talent or all greatness has a parallel weakness. Kol hakochot notzrim bechlaliyutam. All of the powers that God created, God creates in their wholeness, complete. Vizot Torah Adam lechaven drachav, and the idea of God is to take every power and use it for good. I mean, no power is bad. That's Judaism. Whereas if you think about it, that's monotheism. If you believe in one God, that means that He is perfect. That means that everything that He made is perfect. So how was there free will? Free will is to take everything which is good and use it only for good. On the other hand, I think we spoke about it once. What is the Yetzer Hara? Is to take those drives which are essentially good, and you exaggerate them, and you turn it into a yetzerah. Right? Eating is good. You eat too much, you turn it into a bad inclination. Sleeping is good. You sleep too much, you turn that. But everything is good, ki karon, and is meant to be used for good. La'asot et atzmo she'yakoach haklali mishtamesh letova velo lera'ah. That's what free will is about. שהזיכרון המופלא יזכיר לאדם את כל החוכמה והטוב שראה, אבל גם כן כל השכלות והרשע. He gives an example. Memory is a great thing. But you can either remember things that you want to remember, or you can remember stupid things and things that you don't want to remember. Right? You see one thing that you should never have seen, and then you try and erase it from your memory, it's very difficult. And by the way, the better memory a person has, the more advantageous that is in learning, the more a problem it is regarding other things. My father was, when he went to YU, his dorm counselor was Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion, who, as everybody knows, has a photographic memory. And my father once had to make a phone call, so he went into Rav Aaron's house. He's married to Rav Soloveitchik's daughter, and asked them if he could look up a phone number in the phone book. So Rav Aaron said, I threw out all my phone books. So my father said, well, you memorized them all by heart, it's photographic memory. So he says, no, thank God I didn't get to that stage. But every time I would look up a phone number, I'd have so much garbage cluttering my memory that I wouldn't know what to do. So I just call, you know, operator, and I get the phone number. Every talent or every advantage has a disadvantage. Right? And we spoke about this once, that gave the example of a tricycle. Tricycle is a nice thing, helpful. It's not as fast as a bicycle, but it's also not as dangerous as a bicycle, right? A car is that much better than a bicycle, but it's that much more dangerous. And an airplane is that much faster than a car, but also that much more dangerous. And that is the way God created the world. There is a choice between good and bad, and there's a choice between super good and super bad, okay? And that's what that's, and so Am Yisrael, you cannot pretend to be naive and egalitarian and say there's no difference between Jews and non-Jews, because that's not true. It doesn't mean the Jews are better at everything. There's something that the Jews are better, there's something that the Jews are worse, right? And Rav Kook stresses, mi bayit u'michutz. Whereas it might be that the Jews, on the whole, score relatively high in IQ tests. And Jews have won 22% of the Nobel Prizes in the world, even though we've only make up 0.2% of the world. Did you know that? Right? 100 times. Right? So Jews are creative, and Jews are smart, and Jews... But they're also argumentative, and they're also stubborn. And they're also, in other words, you cannot take a foreign educational system and translated into Hebrew. It all gets back to the same point. Now, this is true regarding every nation, Kal v'chomer regarding Am Yisrael, which is the most different from any nation in the world. By the way, if the Mexicans also were the chosen people, I think anybody objectively would say that the Mexicans would need a special educational system, right? Zeh ha'davar noheg v'Yisrael tamid, b'chol et u'b'chol zman u'b'chol makom. What we're saying now is true in all generations. Omnam yoter v'yoter adavar nogea elenu yoshvei eretz hakodesh, u'biyoter yoshvei ha-moshavot, bonei ha-yishuv ha-chadash bedorenu, sheinenu tzrichim yot le'oz Hashem v'tikva dor doron. And there's especially in our generation that we're coming back to rebuild the land of Israel, like we said, for the third time, and we're starting our culture anew. Again, we blew it the first time, we blew it the second time. No other nation in the world that gets a third chance. Let's do it right this time and make sure that the future is going to be set by having a good base. Po tzricha tzuratenu ha'amitit liyot mefutachat b'chinuch ha'yiladim yafei yafei. Here are true selves. What does it mean, our true selves? I'll remind you of the piska that we learned in Orot HaKodesh. Do you remember b'vakashat ani ha'atzmi? In search of my true self. Right? Where we learned at the beginning of the year. I think we learned it, yeah. Now, Rav Kook writes that a lot of people don't know who the real me is. Everyone has days where they're idealistic and want to learn and want to change the world. And on the other hand, they have days where they're lazy, they're self-centered. And so who is the real Ari Shvat? Right? Who's the real me? we believe that the real me is my God himself. Because the real me is not my body, it's my neshama. And my neshama is godly. And therefore the real me, and this, by the way, we mentioned this, this is connected with what we mentioned last week when we learned about Arota Milchama, that a person, the real person, you can tell, not when he goes out on a date and puts on a nice act, but b'kiso b'kaso u'b'koso, right? See him when he's angry, see him when he's drunk, see him under extenuating circumstances, right? That's the real him. I'll never forget, during the Gulf War, we had a large group in Arot. We had like 70, 80 students from abroad. And there was one girl who, she wasn't really into learning. She didn't come to class too often. And she really wasn't, she was clearly the most problematic girl out of the group. But during the first azaka, the first siren, and remember that? Everyone had to run and get their gas mask, and the first one was really balagan. And this girl went around from door to door, from dormitory to dormitory, make sure that all the girls got their masks, make sure that all the girls got out, went to the sealed room, help them put them on their masks, and she was really the most helpful in the group. It was the first time that I really saw who is the real person. See how he acts under pressure. Right? That's the real person. When we spoke about an Arota Milchama, when Am Yisrael acts really nice on Yom HaShoah or Yom HaZikaron, on the Holocaust Memorial Day or the Israeli Memorial Day in memory of the soldiers, or when we go to war like we just saw in Sderot, that's the real Am Yisrael. Okay, and the Jewish education has to be fitting, like we said before, not to brainwash. Real education is to bring out that goodness which is really there. But it has to be suitable for what's really there. כן כל קרקול והריסה, כל עיוות וטעות שבדבר הגדול הזה, הוא רקב כללי המערס את כל אשר אנחנו שואפים לבנות ומחבל את כל מעשי ידינו. If you look at the gymnasium and the secular education that was predominant in Israel at the time of Rav Kook is speaking, he's saying if we continue with this corrupt education, then, just like good education is a strong base, corrupt education is going to make everything rot. Just like when in an angle, right? Everybody knows an angle is like this. You continue that angle up, and this angle continues down, and another couple miles, the distance is worlds apart. And it all depends how you start. By the way, that's the mashal of the Chovot Al Kavod, regarding mitzvot. He says it's a beautiful mashal, right? In other words, the education, what you get at the beginning, that's what's going to continue. Okay? What is that educational system that we want? Just one last sentence. Al ken ba'avat aminu va'artzenu. Anu chayavim mitchazek biyoter liyased ha'chinuch shebiyushuv ha'chadash ha'chaviv. When now that we are starting the renewing, the new yeshuv, the new settlement in the land of Israel, that beloved settlement, al yisud Yisraeli ativi, right? We want to be the real, original Israeli. In other words, who is the real Israeli? Is the real Israeli just somebody who walks around in sandals and shorts and a kol temple? Right? The real Israeli, al yisod kazeh sheniyeh betuchim shayelad ha-yehudi yal yado, through this education, we want to give the young Israeli, the new Israeli, an education that will ensure that he becomes a total Jew when he's older. What does it mean, a total Jew? Tov la'atzmo, gam tov la'amo, v'ne'eman la'artzo, be'munat emet. Who is the ideal Jew? Somebody who is good to himself, who develops his potential, but he's also good to his nation, and loyal to his land and his beliefs. What is it talking about? Before you give your explanation, yeah. Let Rav Kook give his explanation.
Of course.
In Orot HaTchiya, Rav Kook, in Orot HaTchiya, Perek Yutet, Rav Kook, he talks a lot about this topic. I'll just give the punchline because we're running out of time. Aval HaTipus HaShalem, this page Ayin Gimel, in Orot. HaTipus HaShalem Shel Gibore HaAtzibut. That total personality. How would you translate atzilut?
Nobility.
Nobility. Right? Those strong and noble people.
Or it has Kabbalistic kind
of right. For sure. Ma'atzil al giborei gashmiut et hod kodsham. Ayide karnei zohar hamofi'im mehem. Hagalut lo haita yechola lohotzi elapual tipusim shlemin. For those who understood the previous sentence, fine. We don't have time to get into it. But what's really important is the second half. Galut cannot produce the total Jew. Galut cannot produce the total Jew. Galut was, we once quoted the Rav Kook in Malachi Yideot, that Galut was a spiritual seminar where Am Yisrael, because we were having spiritual problems, God took us out of our land, sent us to exile where we didn't have to, we didn't have these distractions of running a country, we didn't have distractions of running our economy, of running a police force, of whenever there were problems, the Jews picked up and went to another country. Those weren't our problems. Okay? Like we once said, the Jew, for in exile, he solves problems with his passport. Right? That's not the real Jew. The real Jew, and this is the education that we have to get, we cannot give Galut education. By the way, Rav Kook here is dealing with both extremes of the spectrum. He's not only saying that the gymnasium or the secular or the German educational system is not Jewish education. He's also saying that the Haredi education, the Cheder, which is just teaching Gemara, and is not teaching Tanakh, and is not teaching philosophy, and is not teaching Hasidut, and is not teaching Talmud Yerushalmi, not to mention, we don't have time to get into, the importance of learning secular education, certain parts of secular education, that you need to run a Jewish state. You cannot have a Jewish state without doctors, and without plumbers, and without high-tech people, and without soldiers, and without farmers, and without rabbis. Right? And you need all of them. And just to close the cycle of what we began with at the beginning, this is the idea. This is the idea of Chanuch Lenar Al Pi Darko. Right? Every Jew has a special, unique spark of God, and the Tanakh and the 613 mitzvot, which include emotion and intellect, and every person develops his godliness in his individual, unique way. And that is how you have a Jewish state, and that is true Jewish education. Not only this, and not only that, but we want to make the ideal Jew. Mm-hmm. We mentioned the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed. He summarized who's the ideal Jew? Sulam Yaakov, right? Jacob's ladder. Sulam Mutzav Arza, Verosho Magia Shamayma. Right? His feet are firmly planted in the ground, and his head is in heavens. In other words, he's not a space cadet. He's not an absent-minded professor. He's not disorganized. He's not floating in different spheres. He's got his feet on the ground. And that is the educational system that we have to set up. And it's a lot of work. Yeah.
In the background of all this question about the real, authentic Israeli, there's such that's why there's such a propaganda war going on about who's a real Israeli. You're from America and you've got a kippah, you're a mitnachel, you're not a real Israeli.
Yeah. Shimon Peres said after Netanyahu was elected, or Katzav, it was after Katzav was elected, that it was
the Jews
won and the Israelis lost. You know what I'm saying?
Belarus was more Jewish than Iran.
Belarus?
Who's from? Paris is from Belarus.
Oh. So, okay, we'll continue with this next time. Next time, Rav Kook will blow you away. It's an awesome, awesome idea of what we're going to learn with next time.
What are we learning next time?
A continuation. This was just like an introduction. It's also important, but...
Shabbat. Shabbat.